We'll miss that music. It's got a really those catchy tunes, you know, you find yourself whistling during the week. I did not wear blue on purpose this morning. It's a total accident. So, but the cats won, so that's okay. We had three boys, and when our first one was born, you know, Melinda was kind of like, if he was out in the yard and he was playing in the dirt and he put, you know, a handful of bugs and worms and grass in his mouth, she'd run out there, grab him, take him to the hospital and have his stomach pumped, you know. The second one does that. He's playing out in the yard and he takes a handful of bugs and worms and grass and dirt, sticks in his mouth. She runs out there and she pats him on the back and makes him spit it out and washes his mouth out. Well, the third one, if he's sitting out in the yard and he takes a handful of worms and bugs and dirt and grass, puts in his mouth, she says, I wonder if he still needs lunch. You know, it kind of changes as you go along there, how you relate to people. And that's as close as I can get to a segue. So we're talking this morning about the body of Christ and what it means to be part of the body. And, you know, it's a challenge for us. We've been talking about identity during this series, to see ourselves as in the image of God and to see ourselves as children of God. But this may be the hardest one of all, for us to see ourselves individually and corporately as the body of Christ. I mean, we don't really operate that way, it doesn't seem. We don't really work together with each other or with the wider community of the body of Christ in the ways that I think that God intended or he envisioned when he talked about us being the body of Christ. And so there's this great opportunity for us to begin to experience what God has called us to be. You know, we started this identity series talking about made in the image of God, and part of that had to do with the Trinity and the fact that God is in relationship with himself and that we're in relationship. And, you know, I know that the preaching's been really good, and insightful and all that stuff, but it may be that we're still not sure about our identity in Christ. It could be that we still struggle with that. And some of that is that we can never know completely who we are as individuals in Christ until we know who we are in the body of Christ. Have you ever seen The Addams Family, the TV show or the movie? You know who Thing is? The little hand that runs around by itself? It's pretty creepy, isn't it? But that's kind of the picture that Paul has given us of Christians who are not part of the body. We're like Thing. We run around and we're kind of useful, but it's not really what I want running around my house, you know? It's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be part of the body where we work together. And so when we talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, this church at Corinth was really messed up. They had a lot of divisions. They were fighting about a lot of things. See if this sounds familiar. They were fighting about legalism and liberty. How much could you do? How much could you not do in terms of being a Christian? They were arguing about sexuality, about what was permissible and what was not. They were in this discussion about money and how it was spent. They were talking about leadership and who should they follow and which direction should they go. They were caught up in talks about worship and styles and communion and how you do it and how you don't do it. And so from the very beginning, there has been this discussion about the church and these divisions. And, you know, the differences are okay as long as they don't divide us. You can have differences without allowing them to separate us. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about being the body of Christ. And so when we talk about this identity in Christ and being in the body, that begins to take over all the other things that we think about who we are. You know, Paul says, you're not Jew or Gentile. You're not free or slave. You're not even male or female. You are in Christ. And so if we begin to identify ourselves, first of all, the very first thing we think about ourselves is that we are in Christ and that this is the body that we are part of. That's the kind of picture we begin to get of what Paul is imagining, of what Jesus desired for his people. And it's really difficult for us in our age because in our culture, we pretty much like to stick to ourselves. We congratulate the self-made person, the person who does it by themselves, who doesn't need anybody else. You know, we don't, those needy people, those clingy people, those desperate people, you know what we think of them. And so how do we get to that place in the body of Christ where we really are one? And what would the world think if that ever happened? You see, God calls us into a bigger picture, into a story that is bigger than our own lives. You know, we kind of idolize or emulate, or we lift up folks who sacrifice themselves for others for a bigger cause. You know, we do that all the time. I mean, not just soldiers or people who serve in those capacities, or firemen or policemen, but parents do that all the time. You know, you give up things to be a parent for your children. Friends do that. I had a friend who, maybe he's just talking about me, but he said, friends only cost you time and money. And there's some truth to that. You know, friends cost us. Marriage cost us. You don't enter into a marriage without giving things up. There are all of those relationships in our lives that are meaningful. We're part of teams. We give up some things in order to be part of it. The church is the same way. I think we kind of fall into this idea that if we go to church, we go to get something out of it and to make our lives better. And we believe that happens, and that's kind of the byproduct. But the reality is we're here because we can't be anywhere else. I mean, you could be, and a lot of people are. But this idea that we need to be part of the body is who we are. It's not a choice. You don't necessarily have to be part of this local church, but you have to be part of what God is doing. That's who we are. In Corinthians, where Paul talks about all these divisions in the church and all the arguments they're having and the things they're going, he says in this passage that we read, he says, now you are the body of Christ. With all these divisions and all these arguments, all this stuff going on, you're still the body of Christ. That's who we are. That's us. We're part of this bigger story of what God is doing. And I can't control it, and it's not mine to fix it or to make it be any certain thing, but I can be part. I can join the current of what God is doing. I can add to the momentum of grace that's at work in the world by being part of the body. Now, having unity in the body is not the same as uniformity. Unfortunately, we create unity sometimes through shame or fear or force. You know, we make sure people conform to this image that we think they should have. And if they don't, we exclude them, or we shame them, or we somehow make them know that that's not acceptable. We do not embrace differences. But what if? What if there's enough grace? What if the presence of God among His people is so powerful that we can bring all of our differences together, and we can love each other, and we can care for each other, weep with one another, and laugh with each other in such a way that we change each other and thereby we change the world? Now, that's not happening. You can look around you. You know, this is 500 years since the Reformation, when Martin Luther wrote his thesis on the door and the Protestant church was formed from the Catholic church, and the split was made. And you know, the church today has so many disagreements, but what if it could be different? What if it could be something else? God doesn't have an assembly line to create saints that all look alike. He wants us to be who we are, but to be who we are together in Christ. God is not out to make us all look the same. We don't all have to be Alabama fans, although you can if you want. Grace is sufficient for all things. But I believe that even, Gary's not here this morning, but even Alabama and Auburn fans can find a unity somewhere else in the body of Christ. But our tendency is, when we have a difference with somebody, is it becomes right and wrong. It becomes in and out. It becomes better and worse. Because if somebody disagrees with me, then I have to make sure that I'm right and they're wrong. What if there are a lot of things that we can disagree about, and that's okay? Someone said that Every time I draw a line in the name of Jesus between me and them, Jesus is always on the other side of the line. There's an old saying that says, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. What if there were a power in the world that could bring people together to love each other and to love the world they find themselves in? Sometimes we think, Paul talks about gifts in this passage. We think that there are gifts that are greater than others. And sometimes we think that unless we preach or we sing or we do something to lead the church, then what I'm doing is not important. Well, that's the opposite. You see, the body does not exist to take care of itself. The body exists to live and to do and to go and to serve, and especially the body of Christ. What we do here this morning is kind of like brushing your teeth, you know. It's maintenance. It's clipping your toenails. Probably not the best description for worship, but, you know, it's kind of something like that. It's this idea that we're taking care of ourselves so that we can do the things that we were intended to do. The church was intended to lift up the broken down, to go to the lonely, to step up for those who are oppressed, to make a difference for those who are downtrodden. The church was intended to heal the sick and to go to those who are in prison, to feed the hungry. That's what the church does. And every time you're involved in that in any capacity, that is you using your gift and being the body of Christ. And so the guy who stands up front on Sunday mornings has one of the least important gifts. The gifts that count are what we do out there. It's who the body of Christ is outside these walls. And so it is our responsibility, all of us together, especially those who have the opportunity to speak or to have influence, is to affirm and encourage and lift up those who do the real work of the church. To make sure that those who are loving their neighbors, who are extending grace, who are loving the person in front of them, to make sure that those people are affirmed and recognize the significance of what they do. We're the body of Christ, not to take care of ourselves, but to serve Him in the world. And so, none of us is more important than the other. You know, the eye is pretty important, but there are a lot of things that the eye's useless with. You know, if you want to smell something, the eye's no good. Or if you want to kick something, the eye's not much good for that. Well, I guess it makes sure you hit it, I guess. But it doesn't cause the impact. All of us have a role. All of us are significant. Each one of us is chosen by Christ to be part of what He's doing. And so there is this significance that we need to affirm. And we need to get to the place where our first response to one another is yes. Where our first response is to build up and not to tear down. Where we find criticism to be not our nature. Where we can build up others. So how important is this to us? In John chapter 17, Jesus is with His disciples on the last night before He's crucified. And He prays. And He prays for us. He literally prays for us. And what does He pray for? He says, "My prayer is not for them alone," talking about these guys sitting at the table with Him. "I pray also for those who believe in Me through their message." That's us. We believe in Jesus through the message of the disciples. "I pray for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." The reason we have trouble with converting the world to Jesus is not because we're hypocrites. It's not because the world is worse now than it's ever been. It's because they're waiting to see a grace that can bind people together, that can really make peace in the world. They're waiting to see the possibility of a world that lives in harmony and love. They're waiting to see something happen that cannot happen anywhere else except by grace and the presence of God. And that doesn't have to do with raising the dead or healing the sick as much as it has to do with a people who dare to love each other and be different. A people who dare to affirm and hold on to each other, even though we have our differences. Now you're not, I imagine there's the possibility that somebody here doesn't like me. Maybe. Not sure, but I guess it's a possibility. There's probably people here that you don't get along with. There are probably people who are Christians that we really disagree with. There are probably some Christians who would tell us that we are not believers, who say we don't need you, who would exclude others because of something they do or something they say. But what if the church was so open and welcoming and inclusive that anybody who wants to believe in Jesus is welcome? And we so believe in God's presence that He will form the body through that kind of love and grace. It's interesting that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is followed by 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, which says the only thing that matters is that we love each other. Not the working of miracles, not speaking in tongues, not prophesying, not giving away all your money to feed the poor. None of that matters unless it's done in love. You know, I think the Corinthians thought that they had it right because they believed what they believed. And they were willing to die, well, maybe not to die, but they were willing to kill for it. They were willing to kick out people to make sure that they were right. But that's where they were wrong. Jesus invites us into this possibility. And that's what this is this morning. It's a possibility. It's the invitation to a mystery. I don't know that prayer of Jesus has ever been answered in a way that really changed the world beyond those first years of the church when they lived together and they shared their goods and people were astounded by how they cared for each other. But since then, it hasn't been like that. But we are invited into that possibility that it can be like that again. And this is just an idea I have, and this is, you know, we have all these boundaries. But this is just a thought, and you turn this over in your mind. I think when we think about unity in the church, we think about, well, we've all got to worship together, but maybe worship is the place we end up, not the place we start. Maybe worship is the place where it's okay to choose a church that fits your personality, or a church that matches your learning style, or a church, a congregation where you are comfortable with the love language that they express. Maybe it's okay for us to be comfortable in worship in that kind of place, as long as we are never divided based on race or nationality or culture or any of those other things that divide us. And as long as we intentionally work together to present to the community this oneness that Christ calls us to. Maybe if we start by working together, we will end up worshiping together. But I think we try to start in the wrong place. And it's kind of awkward and artificial and contrived when we need to know each other and discover how to do that. But God invites us into this possibility. And on today, World Communion Sunday, we start maybe by communion together. A day when Christians all around the world celebrate communion on the same day to recognize maybe a small step toward this miracle that God intends for us as we celebrate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the possibilities that grace creates, that you are present with us in order that we might experience what it means to be the body of Christ, so that we might do the work of Christ in the world. We thank you, Father, for the body and the blood of Jesus shed for us to create this miracle. And now, Father, join us with those who are all around the world this morning who celebrate this reminder that Christ has died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We have a liturgy we're going to follow this morning, which also we hope will help us unite with others who are using similar liturgy. So I'm going to invite, how do we want to do